RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, and focus news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headline. The United Nations Educational and Scientific Organization, UNESCO, and the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, optimized the result of policy research related to the disaster risk reduction. April 26 is declared as Disaster Preparedness Day by the National Disaster Management Agency, BNPB. Indonesia to build Batam as a digital industrial park. And now the news in detail. The Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, and the United Nations of Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, held cooperation in analyzing the result of research related to the disaster risk reduction. Representative of the UNESCO in Jakarta, Irakli Khodeli, to the Voice of Indonesia on the sidelines of workshop, Applying Analytical Framework for Inclusive Policy Design, at Widya Graha Room of LIPI in Jakarta on Monday, said elderly people, children and disabilities are vulnerable groups of disaster effect, so they must have priority of protection from the government. Irakli expected there will not be gaps for handling disaster toward victims.
UNESCO developed a tool. It's called Analytical Framework for Inclusive Policy Design. But it's basically a tool for policymakers, also for researchers, to deconstruct a policy, understand the policy, and identify where there might be gaps in terms of inclusion. So it might be, you might have a very good policy on the face of it in any area, say education or disaster risk reduction, like the area we will focus now. It might, when you read the policy, it might be real, but in practice and in application, the reality might be that certain populations, such as, for instance, people with disabilities.
Meanwhile, researchers of the Center for Population Research of LIPI, Denny Hidayati, explained that the analytical framework and policy design about disaster risk reduction in collaborated with the UNESCO is expected to be a solution to overcome complex disasters such as climate change, natural phenomena with the sustainable scientific approach. In an effort to raise public awareness of disaster prevention, the National Disaster Management Agency, BNPB, declared the Disaster Preparedness Day on April 26. Head of the National Disaster Management Agency, Willem Rampangile, at a press conference related to the National Seminar of Earthquake and Tsunami Disaster Response on Monday, August 28 in Jakarta, explained that the anniversary is a national movement. It has been tested on April 26, 2016. According to him, the people become the basis of the nation's resilience toward disaster.
Karena dari research yang dilakukan oleh Jepang.
Based on the research which has been done by Japan, the survivors of the disaster were 35% determined by individual capacity, 32% by family, 28% by person, neighbor, and so forth. Therefore, we must do this massively. Willem Rampangile further explained the new breakthrough and innovation were made by the National Disaster Management Agency to raise public awareness in the commemoration of National Preparedness Day in April. It has shown great public enthusiasm. Willem said about 10 million people were participated in the event. The date of April 26 was stipulated as the Day of Disaster Preparedness because on that day was enacted the Law No. 24/2007 about disaster management. The anniversary will be taken as an instrument, forum, and opportunity to jointly build awareness of disaster prevention. Prevention of potential earthquake and tsunami disaster remains a priority of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, until 2018. At a press conference related to the National Seminar on the Earthquake and Tsunami Disaster Response that took place in Jakarta on Monday, August 28, head of BNPB Willem Rampangli explained that awareness of the stakeholders and the community about disaster prevention is important. Based on data owned by BNPB, at least more than 148.4 million people of Indonesia, or about 62.4% of the total population of Indonesia, are exposed to earthquakes and tsunamis. The objective to be achieved by BNPB are to build awareness of various interests and communities and also to build mitigation from disaster.
Kata kunci yang pertama adalah membangun kapasitas.
The first key word is building capacity. We have agreed that capacity building is an endless effort or process. We do it continuously. The second is to increase preparedness because the disaster is dynamic. Willem Rampangli further explained there are some facts that cause disaster to become dynamic. These factors are environmental degradation, increased land use for settlement and development that are not matched by proper spatial planning, lack of public awareness, population growth, poverty, and climate change. Currently, BNPB is developing a disaster management blueprint starting from 2018 to 2030. Kencana Pradipa Student Dance Group, which consists of students of the Faculty of Psychology, University of Indonesia, or UI, won the final Grand Prix of the 2017 World Championship of Folklore in Nesebar, Bulgaria. The victory was achieved through a long-term preparation for almost a year and a half since 2016. This was stated by the team leader of Culture Mission of Kencana Pradipa Dance Group, Finda, in a special interview with RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on Monday, August 28.
In the final, we were competing against 10 nominations of other countries. So, like, we are just focusing on giving our best because we've been practicing and preparing this for almost like 1.5 years since 2016. So, this is our final at 5 minutes in the stage. So we have given
up. Finda added, after the Competition World Championship of Folklore 2017, Kencana Pradipa Dance Group plans to join other dance competition in Asia. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian government plans to build Batam Island as a digital industrial park to develop the digital economy and entertainment in the region. Indonesian Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education, Muhammad Nasir, said in Jakarta on Monday, August 28, that Batam is a strategic city located near Singapore and Malaysia. The government wants to build Nongsa like the Silicon Valley in the U.S., according to Nasir, Batam has constructed the Nongsa Digital Park, or NDP, that will develop as a start-up center in Indonesia. Nasir said the animation company Infinite Studio has occupied the NDP area. The government considers that Batam has a good potential as the city is located near Singapore and Malaysia that have high demand for digital industry. The startup organization must be prepared to provide the digital necessities to area not only in Singapore and Malaysia, but also in Indonesia. Minister Nasir added that the government hopes the NDP could be a startup center on digital economy sector the Indonesian government plans to sign the MOU during the 50 years of Indonesia-Singapore diplomatic relationship celebration in Singapore. Minister Muhammad Nasir said the ministry is ready to prepare the regulation to support parties who develop digital economy in Indonesia. Head of Public Relations of National Police Senior Commissioner Martinus Sitompul said the investigator have found some information related to bank accounts of Saracen Group users. The information was still being analyzed. He said in Jakarta on Monday, August 29, that the police tried to analyze data of their financial transaction and seek where the money come from. Martinus said by finding the bank account and amount of transfer, then the party who ordered the misleading news and the order could be revealed. Therefore, the police could see whether there were orders or communication in relation to the effort to spread misleading information. Furthermore, Martinus said the police also still trying to deepen the investigation on the listed members and officials of Saracen Group. He reiterated that the police will check and confirm it to the suspect. Saracen Group made several Facebook accounts, namely Saracen News, Saracen Cyber Team, and Saracen News.com. The group is accused to spread hate speech of ethnicity, religion, race, and intergroup relation, has 800,000 followers. The Cybercrime Unit of National Police have arrested three suspects of group administrator on early August. And the last item, Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Ignatius Jonan stated that Indonesia must be able to determine the global tin price as Indonesia was the world's second largest tin producer. He said during the 2017 International Tin Conference and Exhibition in Nusa Dua, Bali on Monday, August 28, that the government highlight tin trade. Tin exists in Indonesia as a natural resource. Therefore, Indonesia can reach a fair price, which is not solely controlled by the world trade. Indonesia is the second largest tin exporter after China, which contributes to about 70% of the world's demand. He remarked that Indonesian Commodity and Derivatives Exchange, ICDX, could be a reference for the global tin price and could reduce illegal in trade and transaction. The existence of this exchange can suppress illegal tin trade and transaction. And to end the news, here are the main point once again. The United Nations Educational and Scientific Organization, UNESCO, and the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, optimized the result of policy research related to disaster risk reduction. April 26 is declared as Disaster Preparedness Day by the National Disaster Management Agency, BNPB. Indonesia to build Batam as a digital industrial park. And that was our news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello listeners, nice to be with you again in our program commentary. The title of commentary today is Lessons from SEA Games 2017 for Indonesia. The 29th Southeast Asian Games, or SEA Games, is still 2 days to go. This biennial event was officially opened on August 19 and will be closed on Wednesday, 30 August 2017. Every country strives to send its best athletes to become as many as medalist grabbers. For 2017 SEA Games, the Indonesian contingent has not managed to reach the target becoming the overall champion, let alone adding its title as the most frequent winner in the SEA Games history. Since the name SEA Games officially used in 1977, Indonesia has become the overall SEA Games champion for 10 times. Indonesian failure to reach the target of 55 gold medal has certainly left some notes. There are many things that can build a lesson for Indonesia from SEA Games. IMS 2017, especially considering that in less than 1 year, Indonesia will host a bigger sport event, the 18th Asian Games. The athletes who will be deployed at the Asian Games in 2018 must undergo more intensive practice so that they can make better achievements. Moreover, Indonesia as the host country has targeted to reach 20 gold medals in the event. Athletes of 20 leading sport branches will be groomed at the training camp. Indonesia puts much hope on athletes from badminton, weightlifting, oars, judo, karate, boxing, and also athletics. Indonesia must enhance strategy and coaching for fast-run athletes while preparing the second-layer athletes. Another lesson from SEA Games 2017 is Indonesia's readiness to be a better host, starting from facility and infrastructure to facilities that meet the needs of each country's contingent. In addition, Indonesia should minimize possible errors which can lead to dissatisfaction and disappointment among the participating countries. The desire to achieve as many medals as possible should not pit sportsmanship and friendship among ASEAN member countries. Hopefully, in the Asian Games 2018, Indonesia not only can achieve the targeted medal but also become a good host. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. So let's start with the event of August 29, 1944. Central Indonesia National Committee is formed. Under the provisions of the Transnational Rules on August 29, 1945, a Central Indonesia National Committee, or CNIP, of 137 members was formed. Chairman of the KNIP or KNIP was Chair Mr. Kasman Singodimejo, and then the Vice Chairman 1 is Mr. Sutarjo Karto Hadikusumo, Vice Chairman 2 is Mr. J. Latuhar Hari, and Deputy Chairman 3 was Adam Malik. The National Committee of the Center was acknowledged as the forerunner of the legislative body in Indonesia. Then, on August 29, 1945, it was inaugurated as the anniversary of the House of Representatives of the Republic of Indonesia. Next is August 29, 1949. The USSR conducts nuclear bomb tests. The Soviet Union, or the USSR, on August 29, 1949, conducted its first secret atomic bomb experiment. Since then, the atomic bomb is no longer controlled by America alone. The balance that occurs in the atomic arms rivalry between the United States and Russia, or Soviet Union then, is known as the terrible equality. In this situation, both parties prevented themselves from using this atomic bomb for fears the opponent will attack. Since then, the US and Soviet Union entered into a propaganda war. This war is termed the Cold War. The war that took place between the Western Bloc and the Eastern Bloc lasted until the breakup of the Soviet Union in 1991. With the collapse of the Soviet Union, the threat of nuclear has subsided, but since the nuclear weapons remain in the hands of certain people,
the threat of independent states and opponents of the expansion of their power still continues. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The theme of today's focus is all stakeholders of the nation are expected to apply the Pancasila values. Stay tuned. All stakeholders of the nation are expected to apply the Pancasila values in daily lives, and this should not merely be a slogan. Pancasila has been decided as a mutual commitment. Therefore, Pancasila should be reflected in the words and deeds in the daily lives. This was stated by Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly of Republic of Indonesia, Zulkifli Hasan, in his greeting during his speech on the reunion of alumni and final discussion event in the Faculty of Economics of Krishna Dwipayana University in Jakarta on Saturday. As reported by Antara News Agency, Zulkifli stated that implementing the Pancasila values will develop the lives of the nation well and properly, so the government and the citizens will build the faith between them. Meanwhile, Deputy Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, Mahyudin, and the four pillars of the People's Consultative Assembly designation at Tarbiyah High School at Balikpapanis, Kalimantan on Friday, proclaimed that Pancasila as the ideology acts as a unifier for Indonesia, so that its values must be comprehended by the citizen, and the People's Consultative Assembly has a role to socialize this matter. Mahyudin, as reported by Antara News Agency, also explained that the People's Consultative Assembly is responsible to build the spirit of Pancasila ideology in every mind and soul of Indonesian society, because Pancasila is the Paris Indonesian people unifier. In addition, Mahyudin added that the People's Consultative Assembly wants Pancasila to be nationally known or practical, so there are no parties that undermine the ideology, and the people can participate to overcome it. He views that the comprehension given by the People's Consultative Assembly in the four pillars designation is different from the way that the new order did in the past, because the approach is more humanist nowadays. Pancasila is not only owned by the one group, but it is also owned by all people who have rights to get the socialization in the proper ways. Mahyudin further explained that the sense of security for the citizen of the country is guaranteed by the state, and the People's Consultative Assembly is committed to building the soul and spirit of Pancasila. Without Pancasila, Indonesia can be separated. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Here is our news in brief. The Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, and the United Nations of Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, held cooperation in analyzing the result of research related to disaster risk reduction. In an effort to raise public awareness of disaster prevention, the National Disaster Management Agency, BNPB, declared the Disaster Preparedness Day on April 26. Prevention of potential earthquake and tsunami disaster remains a priority of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, until 2018. Kencana Pradipa Student Dance Group, which consists of students of the Faculty of Psychology, University of Indonesia, UI, won the final Grand Prix of the 2017 World Championship of Folklore in Nesebar, Bulgaria. The Indonesian government plans to build Batam Island as a digital industrial park to develop the digital economy and entertainment in the region. Head of the Public Relations of National Police, Senior Commissioner Martinus Sitompul, said the investigator have found some information related to bank account to Saracen Group users. And the last item, Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Ignatius Jonan stated that Indonesia must be able to determine the global tin price, as Indonesia was the world's second largest tin producer. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, we meet again in the regular Indonesian Wonder. In today's segment, we will introduce you to Pacu Jalur, or the longboat rowing race. Stay tuned. Pacu Jalur Festival has been held in Tepian Narosa, Teluk Kuantan, Kuantan Singingi or Kuansing Regency, Riau Province from August 23 to 27, 2017. On the local language, the word Jalur implies boat. Therefore, Pacu Jalur is a rowing competition on the river using a long wooden boat. In the festival, there are around 120 of Jalur or the longboats which compete to be the fastest. The excitement of the festival becomes tourism attraction for the local and international tourists as well as the local people. Pacu Jalur is the local wisdom of Kuantan Singingi or Kuansing people. The boat race using a 25 to 40 meters long boats. The history of the Pacu Jalur began from the 17th century, where Jalur was the main transportation of the villagers in Rantau Kuantan, namely the area around the Kuantan River. At that time, there has not been developed land transportation yet. As a result, the Jalur was used as an important transportation for the villagers, particularly to transport crop products. Afterwards, there were Jalur or boats which were given beautiful decorations such as snake, crocodile, or tiger head carvings. The change also marked the development function of Jalur to show the social identity. Only the ruler of the region and the nobleman who can ride the carved Jalur. Then, gradually, the Jalur was not only decorated, but also contested. The speed race event between Jalur or boats was then known as Pacu Jalur. It was originally held to commemorate the holiday of Islam or festivity, but now it is also held to commemorate the Independence Day of Republic of Indonesia. Listener, in the Pacu Jalur race, each boat consists of 50 to 60 rowers. The number of rowers varies on each boat as it is adjusted to the long of the boat. The number of rowers does not determine the victory because according to the local myth, the victory is determined from the magical power existed in the wooden boat and the supernatural power of the handler in controlling the boat. From 50 or 60 rowers, there are members of the team who carry out their respective duties, such as Tukang Goncang, who lead the crew, and Tukang Pinggang, who becomes helmsman. There is also Tukang Onjai, who gives the steer, the wheel, and Tukang Tarik, who assists Tukang Onjai on putting the pressure to make the boat balance. Thank you. listener, the Pacu Jalur race uses the knockout system, so that the participants who lose at the beginning of the game are not allowed to participate anymore. Meanwhile, the winners will be challenged back to get the main winner. Unlike other races, Pacu Jalur begins with a quite unique signal, namely by setting off the cannon for 3 times. This cannon is used to remind that the race begins. It is because of the spacious arena and the noisy spectators who watch this Kuantan Singingi traditional race. Listener, that was the regular Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic of Pacu Jalur, or the longboat rowing race from Rio Province. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you and sampai jumpa. Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in the conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Agency for Language Development, Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is mencuci baju, or in English, doing the laundry. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice, you can follow after me. Mencuci. Mencuci. In English, to wash or to do the laundry. Baju. Baju. Clothes. Mesin cuci. Mesin cuci. Washing machine. Rusak. Rusak. Broken or broke down. Baju kotor. Baju kotor, dirty clothes. Banyak, banyak, lot. Tenang, tenang, calm down. Dekat rumah, near my house. Layanan cuci baju, laundry service. Takut, takut, afraid. Hilang, hilang, to lose. Bercampur, bercampur, mix up. Orang lain, other people. Satu pelanggan, one customer. 5 kilogram, 5 kilogram, 5 kilograms. Biaya, biaya, cost. 30 ribu, 30 ribu, 30,000. Waktu yang diperlukan, time needed. 80 menit, 80 minutes. Setrika, setrika, iron. 2.000 rupiah, 2.000 rupiah, 2.000 rupiah. Informasi, informasi, information. Coba, coba, to try. Next is a conversation on mencuci baju, or in English, doing the laundry. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Nita and Lily at the office. Lily, mengapa kamu tampak lelah? Lily, mengapa kamu tampak lelah? In English, Lily, why do you look tired? Mesin cuci saya rusak. Mesin cuci saya rusak. My washing machine broke down. Baju kotor saya banyak. Baju kotor saya banyak. Baju kotor saya banyak. I have a lot of dirty clothes. Tenang, di dekat rumah saya ada layanan cuci baju. Tenang, di dekat rumah saya ada layanan cuci baju. Calm down, near my house there is a laundry service. Ah, saya takut baju saya hilang. Ah, saya takut baju saya hilang. Well, I'm afraid of losing my clothes. Selain itu, saya tidak mau baju saya dicuci bercampur dengan baju orang lain. Selain itu, saya tidak mau baju saya dicuci bercampur dengan baju orang lain. Besides, I don't want my clothes to be mixed up with others. Di laundry itu, satu mesin cuci untuk satu pelanggan. Di laundry itu, satu mesin cuci untuk satu pelanggan. At that laundry, one machine serves one customer. 5 kilogram cucian biayanya Rp30.000. 5 kilogram cucian biayanya Rp30.000. 5 kilograms of laundry cost Rp30.000. Waktu yang diperlukan kurang lebih 80 menit. Waktu yang diperlukan kurang lebih 80 menit. It takes around 80 minutes. Setelah dicuci, juga dilipat. Kalau mau disetrika, satu baju biayanya Rp2.000. Setelah dicuci, juga dilipat. Kalau mau disetrika, satu baju biayanya Rp2.000. After being washed, the clothes will be folded neatly. If you want it ironed, it costs Rp2.000 per piece. Terima kasih informasi kamu ya. Terima kasih informasi kamu ya. Thanks for your info. Saya akan mencoba. Saya akan mencoba. I'll try it. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi, until we meet again.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to our regular Music Corner. In today's edition, we will play several dangdut songs. Stay tuned.
listener the dangdut song entitled Mana Mana Mana, sung by Ratna Anjani. The song, which was released in early 2014, tells the story of someone who demands the promise and loyalty of the lover, which never be obtained. Created by Adibal Syahrul, the music of this song is quite fresh and brings modern dangdut. At the time, the song Mana Mana was released in two versions, original version and solo percussion mix. The singer, who has original name Ratih Jumiati Krido Sasongko, started her career in the dangdut music in Indonesia since 2007. Harapan and Duka was her first album. Then she released the album Poco Loro, Teh Poci, Mana Mana Mana, Demi Cintaku, and also Bercumbu Dengan Waktu. At least 17 albums have been released. Her name became famous since she released her song entitled Poco Loro. Before returning to the work of Ratna Anjani, let's listen to her song entitled Demi Cintaku. Happy listening.
korbankan harta jiwa, korbankan.
Listener, after successfully collaborated with Adibal Sahrul, Ratna Anjani returned to sing Adibal's song composition entitled Demi Cintaku. This song tells the story of someone who is in love and willing to sacrifice everything for the lover. Unlike Ratna's songs, which are identical with upbeat and remixed dangdut music, in this song, Ratna trying to explore her ability by singing the song Demi Cintaku with the music and lyrics a more accentuate the romantic, soft, and elegant. Not only collaborated with Adibal Sahrul, Ratna also works with Arif Iskandar as an arranger and Hendri Lamiri as the violist. The music of the song is made with a touch of orchestral music. To close today's edition of Music Corner, let's listen to a song entitled Cinta 378 by Ratna Anjani. See you and sampai jumpa.
This is the sweetest place, burying my feelings. I'm welcoming an eye into the darkest one. It tells me not to worry, for the time is yet to come for someone to arrive and heal the troubled one. Suddenly the rain falls, showering a desert stone. Wash away these tears of yesterday. I hear a sound of a raising chorus, sung by the angels and the broken heroes. I won't go back now, I feel so right. I found a place where dreams and life become one, and finally I don't.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.